Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. I am your host tonight. I'm Tanisha. My sweetheart is out tonight, so he is not going to be able to join us because he's probably going to get back by the time the show is over, but I am here. I'm glad that you're here. He's here with us in spirit, and he's always praying for you all and encouraging and uplifting you. So Terrence, if you're listening, hello, we love you, we miss you. I'm not sure if you're able to tune in, but he should be in later on. But if we miss him tonight, I'm here, the Lord is here, and I'm excited that you're here. I want to talk to you guys about what's been going on, even at PGN, right? If you've been tuning in, there's been a lot of information that's been given to us about the times that we're living in, which are the last days, and about the Antichrist, and there's been, you know, just kind of talking out ideas about the false prophet and so on and so forth. And I don't know about you, but I am very excited about that. I know that some people, I know it's been my experience in my walk that some believers don't really like to talk about the book of Revelation and end times and that kind of thing. But for me, it excites me because having not been raised in a going to church and that kind of thing, being raised moral, right? My parents both were raised in, my mom was raised Roman Catholic. My dad was raised Church of Christ. So they had religious or upbringing and training, but they didn't necessarily raise my sister and I with any type of religious upbringing or training, but we were taught to be very moral. And in hindsight, I see that the teachings were biblically rooted. So when I became a believer, I didn't have the background that some people have that, you know, were raised in church, went to Sunday school, that kind of thing. And one of the first things that the Lord told me as a new believer, as a baby in Christ, and when I became a believer, I was also very young. I was 21, 22 years old when I became a believer. So very young. One of the first things he told me was that he called me for the end times and the last days. And that did not make sense to me because I didn't have the background. So I'm like, what? You know, a person whose whole life is revolved around time, hearing that was jarring. And the Lord told me time will end. And I'm like, well, what do you mean time will end? And he said, time has expiration date. And everything, he told me everything was, you know, in the word of God and all that kind of thing, but that time would end and that there were events that were going to take place before time ended and that he was going to use me in the last minutes of time, like before, right before time ended. And so my walk was very important because there's no Calvary coming after me, you know, like what I'm called to do, I'm called to do. And this is something that was laid out on me as a, you know, a very young person in general, you know, and freshly into the fold. I mean, I don't even think I was serving God 2 months at that time. Like, I mean, I'm fresh in it. So everything is new. I literally came into my faith like a baby, knowing absolutely nothing and having to be completely hand-fed and taught everything. You know, God put me in an amazing church. In my hometown, and the pastor recently passed of that church. He passed, his funeral was on the 10th, and I just pray for his family and uplift his family because I'm still feeding off of his teachings to this day. Like God gave me a very solid foundation, a very sound teaching that was pretty radical for that time. You know, I was taught about the gift of prophecy. We had, you know, prophets that were in the church that would prophesy over the church at times. You know, I was taught about laying of hands, healing. So this stuff was normal to me because I came into the fold with a church that was, you know, what would be seen as radical then, that was made it normal to me, you know. And besides that being my church home, God had me studying the teaching of Catherine Coleman and Reinhard Bonnke and Billy Joe Doherty and Adrian Rogers, like the Jack Van Impe, like these are the people that God had me watching and feeding off of. So, it, you know, I know now that he really put some giants for me to study and feed off of, and to get very sound biblical teaching and even good doctrine, right? And had me under theologians and that kind of thing. But the reason why I'm excited about what's been going on and the revelations that God has been giving us is because it just confirms what God has told me all those years ago about being used in the end. So I always knew that I would be alive during the time of the Antichrist and the false prophet and that kind of thing. And, you know, you tell people that and you look cuckoo, no Cocoa Puffs. But when this is one of the first things that God tells you, you believe it. You know, I believed it. I still believe it. When I told you guys before about a vision I had as a baby in Christ in church, and I was in heaven, and I was holding hands with all these people. Like, there were so many people, I literally could not give you a number. And we were all excited. We were so excited. We were rejoicing. We were just, you know, very excited. I just remember that we were all excited because we had made it, right? We had all made it. And I asked God, what was he showing me? And he said, if you're obedient to the call in your life, these are all the people that will make it as a result of your obedience, you know, whether it be direct or indirect. Like, this is the impact that you will have. And I was so excited, you know, because everybody wants to make a difference. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, because of me, all these people will be, you know, will make it and all that kind of stuff. And he said, let this blessing be your burden, too, that if you're not obedient, these are the people who could possibly not make it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it horrified me. It terrified me. And I remember asking the Lord, like, what do you mean that there's people who, you know, why would I be that impactful? And he said, because you're going to be used in the very end. In the end. Like before, there's been people that have, you know, done what we've done. All of us have a call in our life. All of us have gifts, right? None of our gifts are like unique and brand new to the earth. Now, we might be unique and new to the earth, but the gifts that we have and the jobs that we have are not. You know, it's kind of like the earth, you know, when here comes Melody, that's our cat. She loves when we minister. She always comes in here meowing, even though she was in the living room, but now she heard me, so she came in here meowing. So that's her way of ministering. But, you know, when you think about the earth, like what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's always been pastors, ministers, preachers. There's always been people that were for God, people that were doing the work of God. There's always been people who the devil has been able to influence and do his work. You know, it's kind of like when you work for a company, you know, a corporation. Some corporations have been around for hundreds of years. And the job that you might be doing in that corporation, somebody has done it before you, and somebody did it before them and so on and so forth, right? So it's just different people are filling the role. And that's kind of like how it is on the earth. There's just different people filling the role. There's nothing new under the sun. There's been prophets, right? There's been teachers. There's been evangelists. There's been healers. There's been people who are called to give. There's been people who are edified. There's been exhortation, people who are called for that. There's been those people, right, in the earth. It's just when those people leave and they pass, new people come, right? It's a cycle. It's a cycle. But what's unique for us and those in our time right now is that, you know, time is not going to permit for like generations after generations to come after us to finish the work. Like we're kind of like the last of the Mohicans. Like we're like the skeleton crew in this earth. So it's very important that we are true to the call that God has on our life. And I don't say this to scare you. I want you to be excited that God has entrusted whatever it is that he's placed you on earth to do for you to be here at such a time. Because I know some believers don't like to hear about the end times. They don't like to hear about the book of Revelation. They don't want to hear about the Antichrist. They don't want to hear about the false prophet because it scares them. Because either they've come up on their own, or there's been bad teachings. I remember reading all those, watching all those end time movies as a believer. Randy talked about it, how they're getting their heads chopped off and all this other crazy stuff. And no. Mm-mm. There's been some really erroneous teachings and some scare tactics that have infiltrated the body of Christ concerning the end times. We don't have anything to fear, right? Because if you're called for these times, then God will protect you. So we don't bow down to fear, because we know fear is not of God and fear hath torment. We can trust and we can put our faith and hope in Christ. And we can gladly, with joy, do the work that he has called for us to do, right? So let's not walk in any fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be, you know, losing sleep or anything. You're built for this. Literally. You're built for this time. You're built for your call. You're built for the people that are in the earth. And these people are different types of people. You know, I was watching a television show yesterday that came on that was from my childhood. You know, I was raised in the 80s, 80s, 90s. So that was a different time, especially the 80s. The 80s was a different time than now. And so I'm watching the show from the 80s, and I feel like I was in like a time machine, like I was morphed back into that time when times were simpler and people were just so different than they are now. And so for a person like me, and I'm in my early 40s, but I find myself saying, man, I wish I miss those days. You know, I miss those times when times were simple and, you know, you go outside, play, so the streetlight came on and you didn't cut up when you were outside away from your house. Like there was no cell phones and stuff. I mean, cell phones were out, but they were like in a briefcase. Like there wasn't where everybody has a phone. You know, you had money for the payphone, so you kept change on you in case you needed to use a payphone. But you wasn't going to be that far from the house where you needed to use a payphone. But just in case, you know, your mama gave you a quarter, you know, in case you needed to use a phone. But while you were out in the neighborhood, the neighbors watched you too. Everybody knew who belonged to who, right? They knew who kid you were. And if you cut up, they would get on you, and then they would take you home and your parents would get on you too. So people like really looked out for one another. You know, you could have been two blocks over and neighbor would be like, hey, don't you live over here? What you doing over here? Your mama know you over here? Your daddy know you over here? You know, where your sister at? You know, that kind of thing. People really looked out for each other. And I don't see that in today's times. People are just completely different. But when you study the word of God talks about how people are going to be lovers of self and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not for me. I'm not shocked by it, but it, you know, it does make me a little sad to see how people are, the state of people. But at the same time, it makes me rejoice because it just proves the word of God to be true. Because God told me in the beginning of my walk that I was called to the end of times. I always took an interest in studying the end times, how people were going to be, what's the signs, what's going to happen, what, you know, I always took an interest in that. So it just gives me confirmation. And so you might be one of those people where you're missing the good old days and you're like, man, people suck. And they do, you know. I'm not going to sit up there and lie. People suck. But we love people. You don't got to like them. We love them. And we want to provide a way for them to come out of what they're in. A lot of people are just really ignorant. They don't know. They literally don't know. This is all they've known. You know, they weren't raised as believers, or they were taught some like really surface type of Christianity, some little watered down Mr. Potato Head Christianity, nothing that penetrates or goes deep. You know, they're just taught to quote unquote be good people and try their best and say the word God and they're okay. And that's not true. You know, a lot of people are just really lost. And it's our job as believers to pray for people and love on people. And even if you think people suck and they get on your nerves, you're called for people. You know, we're all here for people. We're not here for, you know, just to tend the earth. Everybody's call is tied up to people. You know, the involvement you have to have, now that's between, you know, God only knows, and I would hope you know too, the more you get to know him, but we're called for people. And we're built for these people, these type of people, this type of attitude. You know, we can pray for people. We don't have to fight people. We just pray for them and ask God for wisdom on how to move and what to say, what not to say. You know, he helps us navigate through the times that we're in. And I want you to take heart in that tonight. I want you to focus on that, to know that you're called. Nobody's here by accident. Nobody snuck in. You know, nobody jumped on the stork's back and the stork dropped them off and God said, what happened? Where's that person? Who is that person? Where'd they come from? You know, you're here for a divine purpose. You're here by, you know, by God's will, by God's want. Even if your parents didn't want you, God wanted you and wants you. and don't be intimidated by the times that we live in. Don't be intimidated by anything, because you're built for it. And you need to take heart in that, and you need to take courage in that, and really trust God, because times are going to change. You know, if you start to study Revelation, if you haven't, there's shows that come on where you could tune in at PGN. One of the hosts does shows teaching about the book of Revelation. Very, very good shows. And if you haven't listened in live, then I highly recommend you go to the archives and listen to them, especially if you're not really familiar with the book of Revelation. I know some people don't like to read it because they feel that it's too symbolic, or, you know, there's too many hidden things in it, but it's something that you should know. It's there for a reason. But don't be intimidated by it. It's good for us to know what's going on, because it just proves God to be true even more and more. You know, God is always proving himself to be true, because God, he can't lie. Right? He can't lie. It's one thing if you don't lie, right? Because you and I have the full ability to lie. We're born into sin, and we're shaped in iniquity. We are essentially sin and dirt before we come into Christ. But even when we do come into Christ, we still have all of our old tendencies, right? We have all of our flesh tendencies. So telling the truth is, we have to make an effort to tell the truth, because we have the ability to lie. But God, it doesn't say God doesn't lie, right? Let's look up the scripture. Let's pull it up. Yeah, pull it up, because I want you all to be in the habit of reading your word too. So let's, trying to find the scripture. Give me a second here. Let's go to Hebrews 6:18. It's telling me. Give me 1 minute here. Hebrews. Why am I in the Old Testament? I have no idea. Okay, so that by, I'm reading out of Amplified. So that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. Because it says God, but they say it's impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. Let's go to another scripture. That was Hebrews 6:18, by the way. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:29. Let's go there. Now that I know is the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 15:29. Okay, so again, Amplified. Also the splendor and glory in eminence of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Let's compare that. And also the strength, this is King James, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Okay, that's again 1 Samuel 15:29. Let's go to Numbers 23:19. It's also Old Testament. Numbers 23:19. Okay. This is the one that you guys probably all know. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good and fulfill it? Let's read that out of the King James. Let's do a compare. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? So what he's saying, okay, God's not a man, and he's not a son of man. So he don't have to repent, because he doesn't sin, okay? If he said it, he gonna do it. And if he spoke it, he's going to make good on it. Okay? It's impossible for God to lie. So we have scripture. We have more than one scripture that talks about God and his inability to lie. See, we have the ability to lie. I could lie to you right now. I could say my name is Bob. That's a lie. My name is Tanisha. But I could say that. I could lie. So every time I tell the truth, I'm making an effort to tell the truth. Where God doesn't even have the ability to lie. It's impossible, it says. So keep that. Think about that. Doesn't say that he won't lie. Doesn't say that he chooses not to. He can't lie. He can't. Do you hear me? He cannot lie. You can lie. Your mama could lie. Your dad, your grandfather, your mentor, the person you look up to the most, your pastor, everybody, me, parents, anybody, any human being can lie, but God cannot. He's not making a choice not to. He can't do it. So it's important for you to know what's going on. Get into your word and read, because he can't lie. If he says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, it can't, because he said it. He don't make it up. He ain't just trying to make you feel good so that you can be tucked in at night, feel all comfy, cozy. He can't lie. And so it's important for you to know the word of God. It's important for you, especially because you're in this time. We're sharing time, right? You ain't listening to me from the future. This is live. And God told me that he's using me in the end. So if he's using me in the end and you're here sharing time with me, guess what? You're being used in the end too. So it's important for us to know what's going to take place in the times that we're in. And to know the truth about it. Because a lot of lies are going to be thrown at us. A lot of lies. But we hold on to what God says to be true. And we roll with that. Because that's the truth, period. Because he's not trying to make us feel good. He can't lie. It's impossible. So that's why know the book of Revelation. Know your word in general. Know God's promises. Know what he has said. And what he is saying. Because that's the truth. Because a lot of lies are going to be thrown at you. Look at the world we live in. Everything is a smoke screen. It don't make no sense. Excuse me, I had to drink me some coffee. Well, we live in a world of illusions and delusions. And people get all hyped up about it. You know, they want to watch their favorite celebrity couple. Half the people can't stand each other. It's a delusion and an illusion. Even the news will make stuff up. They have agendas and all sorts. They can't trust it. You got to have discernment. You got to be walking in wisdom in these times. Because people profit off of your ignorance. People profit off of your trust. And we live in a society that's all about the love of money. And the love of money is what? The root of all evil. We live in a society, in a world that's very prideful. And pride comes before what? Destruction. Let's read that scripture, and then I'm going to start praying for you guys. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let me find it first. Proverbs 16:18. Let's go there. I know I got that highlighted. Amplified says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's compare it. King James Version reads, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So it reads pretty much the same. Let's see what the New International Reader's Version says. It says, if you are proud, you will be destroyed. If you are proud, you will fall. Message, I like this. I like the message says. First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. NIV says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. New Living Translation says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. So pretty much the same. So one thing about pride when you start to see it. Destruction is coming. It goes before it. It's like a combo, right? It's a package deal. Where there's pride, destruction is a coming. It's a coming. And we live in a society that's very prideful. So we're going to see some destruction because there's a lot of pride. It's actually glorified to be prideful in everything, right? So we need to know when we see all these things going on around us, delusions, illusions, people being proud and haughty. Do you know what haughty means? Because maybe you don't. Maybe that's not a word that you are accustomed to. Let's look up haughty right quick. In case you didn't know. Let's go to my favorite, Merriam-Webster. Blatantly and disdainfully proud, having or showing an attitude of superiority and contempt for people or things perceived to be inferior. Like thinking you better, right? We live in, that's right, male, you better testify. So a lot of people think they're better than people just because of what they drive or what they kind of clothes they wear, their shoe brand or their purse or the neighborhood that they live in or the color of their skin or their hair, whatever. That's haughtiness. And we actually live in a society that glorifies that, right? A lot of times people are on social media. Before social media was, you know, social media in itself is not a bad thing, right? Because it's an inanimate thing. It comes to life based on what people put into it. And before, like, let's use Instagram, for example, right? When Instagram first came out, it was just photos. You couldn't even send people messages and comment and all that kind of stuff. I think you could just like it, and that was it. You could double tap like, and that was it. And you just posted photos. Now you can do videos, and you can comment, and you can send people private messages, and reels, and there's all this different stuff now. Like it has evolved into something else. And I watched it come something fun. You know, people, if I'm a photo person, I love taking pictures. I like pictures. I like to look at pictures. I also like art. I like viewing things. I like beauty. So I've always enjoyed photos and art and that kind of stuff. And first it was just random stuff. People taking pictures of their garden or kids, you know, whatever the case may be, because people couldn't comment. They can only like it, and maybe their nails, different like stuff around the city, and then it became a bragging game, like, to feel like, oh, I'm better than you. You know, first it was stealth. You know, people might say, you know, oh, look at my manicure, so you can see their car emblem in the background, or, you know, strategically placing things so that you can see what they had. Like before, people were trying to be slick about it, but now it's blatant. Like they're just in your face with it. Like, look what I got. You don't have it because you're so poor, you little peasants. Like it's glorified to show off and feel like you're better than people because of the things that you have. And a lot of the time that stuff is not even legit. It's rented, it's fake, it's, you know, or they scam for it, and people getting locked up and all that kind of stuff, because it's really gone to crazy proportions, the lengths that people will go to try to feel like, or try to perceive like they are better than people because of the things that they have. So we live in a society where being haughty is actually not frowned upon by most of society, right? It's actually glorified. Actually, people like feel like if they got more and they look down at people and they put these little captions to say that they're better or more superior, they get more likes and comments, and people actually like glorify them with the yes and, oh, you go, girl, or oh, you tell them, and all that kind of stuff. Make them bow down, and like they glorify this, which we know as believers, that is not, no, God don't like that. That haughtiness, God don't like that pride. Because when you see that pride, I'm telling you now, it's that destruction is hitched on. And so we have to learn how to navigate through all that, not get caught up in that. And then what do we do when we see it? You know, you pray for people, and what do you do when you have somebody that's caught up in that and they don't see it? They think, oh, you're just being uptight and this, that, and the other. No, I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to teach you. If we would just apply God's principles to life, we would have success in every area of our life. But take heart of knowing that you're called for this time where all this stuff is going on around you. You know, like when I was coming up, being petty and all that kind of stuff, that was frowned upon. Somebody called you petty, that was a fighting term.
to call somebody petty. So, oh, you're just petty. Now people call themselves petty and have all these, you know, little cutesy names. I'm going to be a Petty Betty or Peppermint Petty, Tyler Petty, right? They're gonna, they find it to be cute and attractive. And people goat them on, right? Oh, yeah, just be petty. You know, if I were you, I would be petty. Like, they glorify it. Disturbing. But we're called for such a time and to be amongst people who behave like this. So take heart in that. Know that you're called for it, but know what's going on, right? Get into your word. I can't stress that enough. Get into your word. Know what's going on in the time that we're in, so that when things start to take place, right? Because I knew when the queen died. Well, first of all, we backtrack. I knew, Terrence and I both knew that there was something significant happening in the month of September. We knew this was going to be like a life-changing month for us personally and for collectively as the body of Christ. And when the queen died, I'm like, something's going on with that. Something with Charles being king, something tied in with the Antichrist. Like, I didn't know what, but I knew something was tied in. And then if you haven't been listening to Randy, I highly suggest you from that show from when the queen died. I can't remember what date she died, but the shows have just turned up. The revelation has just turned up. The knowledge has just turned up. So highly recommend you go into the archives and listen to the shows so that you can be, you know, caught up to speed. But I knew, I'm like, something's up with that. Because I had even text Randy, I'm like, something's up with, you know, Charles being king. I'm like, I don't know how, but somehow the Antichrist is tied into this. And he confirmed it with some of the teachings. So very meaty shows have been going on, very meaty. And very exciting for me, very exciting for all of us, whether you're excited or not. It's exciting to know what's going on and to know that you serve a God that can't lie and that speaks, right? He's not taking a nap, he's not in Aruba somewhere, leaving us here to just wonder what's going on. He's speaking, he's spoken, and what he says is true. And so I want you to take heart in that tonight. Let's do a collective prayer, and then I want to start answering calls. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for another day. We thank you, Father God, for seeing fit for us to be in this day because there's purpose in it. Even if we don't see it, there's purpose in each day. In each day, we're gaining ground, right? Because, Lord, your word says our steps are ordered. So we're gaining ground with each day, and we thank you that you woke us up and saw fit for us to be in this day. And, Father God, we pray for us to expand our wisdom and our knowledge and understanding, and that we would desire and crave your word, that we would crave it, that we would feed on it, that we would drink of it, so that we can know what's going on and so that we can be walking in the truth, and that truth is resonating with us, that we can fixate our mind on it, think on what's true, what's lovely. We can't think on what's true, what's lovely. We can't think on these things if we're not consuming them. If we're just consuming what's around us a lot of the time is not true. It's not lovely, even though it's accepted, even though it's societal norms, even though that's what they're presenting. A lot of it is not lovely, it's according to your standard, and a lot of it is not true. But give us a desire to feast on your word so that we can truly put our mind on what is true, what is lovely, and so that we can grow strength in your word and grow strength in the truth, because we can't be true or strong if we're shackled up. And we know that the truth is what makes us free. It's the cause of our freedom. And so many of us are shackled up and bound in different areas of our lives because we're not operating in truth in those areas. So help us, Father God, to unleash the lies for the scales to fall off, So that we can see things for what they truly are and we can operate accordingly in truth and love. And help us to be strong, Father God, and help us to be joyful and to be obedient in the call that you have for each and every one of our lives, because each and every one of us is important and precious in your sight. And you love us and you've designed us to win. We're designed to win. And help us to hold on to that. And we love you, Lord, and help me to decrease as you increase, speak to your people and give them what they need, Father God. keep us encouraged, and we love and honor you, and we pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So let me get myself ready to start answering calls tonight. Let me get my notepad. There's quite a few of you. Put your hand up. I want to try to get to everybody. All right. Okay. First caller here is, something's going on with my mouth tonight too. Bear with me. Let me try to get this together. All right. 662-806. Who am I speaking with?
This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Just enjoying your message.
Amen. I'm glad. I'm glad that you called in and tuned in tonight. Well, let's pray for you and see what the Lord has to say to you personally. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Cynthia, Father God. We thank you for the loveliness, for her experiencing the loveliness of who she is and the loveliness of who you are. Cynthia, I really see God showing you truly what's lovely, just like what I just prayed, that we focus on what's lovely and what's true. Let's look up the word lovely, because I know a lot of words have, like, I love words. And a lot of words are synonymous with other words, but there's always something that makes it like a little different. So let's look up the word lovely. Lovely says delightful for beauty, harmony, or grace. Love by moral or ideal worth, a lovely object. Lord, give me something that's going to, hey, there we go. Exquisitely beautiful. Exquisitely beautiful. Attractive. Very beautiful and therefore pleasing to look at or listen to. So that's what lovely means. And I see you, Cynthia, really understanding the loveliness of God himself. Because God is so multifaceted. Like, there's so many sides of God that I believe for all of eternity we'll learn different sides of him. Each day, I don't know if we'll have day and night. I'm not sure how that's going to work with time being a created space. Time is something that's created by God, and it separates things, right? Because day separates night, and things are measured in time. But I think for each, what we could measure as a day here on the earth in eternity, we'll always be learning about God. That's how multifaceted he is. He has so many sides. We see so many names for him in the Word of God, you know, like the Lord, my provider, Jehovah Jireh, you know, Jehovah Rapha. There's all these different names, because he's a man of war. He's a man who loves us. He is the God who cannot lie, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's like so many names of God. And he says he is, you know, when Moses says, well, who do I say sent me? When he went to Pharaoh, he says, I am. Tell him I am sent you, because that's what he is. He is whatever you need him to be. But I see you really experiencing the loveliness of God. And in turn, the loveliness of who you are. Because people are beautiful. You know, we're jacked up, all of us. But people are beautiful too at the same time, because we're made in the image of God. There's a piece of God in each and every one of us. And the more we know God, the more we understand who we are. And we understand our loveliness. Because it doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what we've done. There's loveliness even in who we are. And I see you really coming to see that. What's pleasing about you. What's pleasing, right? Because we have, all of us have the ability to please God. The only requirement is we have to have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? We can't. So if we don't have faith, there's no way we could please God. Doesn't matter if we're the best person on the planet, the worst. We can't do it without faith. So faith is like a absolute requirement. When we have faith, there's other things about us too, right? That's pleasing to God. And you're going to understand what about you is pleasing to God. What makes God sit back and just really enjoy you and say, look at my daughter. Look at her. I'm so proud of her. Look what she's doing. She's like a beautiful fragrance in my nostrils. Look at her. She's just a sight to behold. You're going to understand that. And it's important to understand that because each and every one of us, you know, we even as children, we wanted to be pleasing to our parents. All of us. Doesn't matter if we had great parents or absolutely horrible, rotten ones. Children want to please their parents. And when they know they're pleasing to their parents and their parents show their approval, that smile or says something, that pat on the head, whatever, it makes us feel good about ourselves. Children actually build up self-esteem and self-worth and self-value based on feelings of pleasing their parents. This is even in psychological science. And so we're the same way as children of God. It's important for us to know that we're pleasing to God because it builds us up. It helps us to see ourselves through God's eyes and not through our own human eyes or even through people who've known us eyes. Because people, they hold on to things. Right? There's people that I know that would never call into this show because they knew who I was before Christ. So they can't undo old Tanisha to new Tanisha, even though I've been serving God for over 20 years. They can't unsee that. I will always be filtered through 20-year-old Tanisha or 21-year-old Tanisha and before, even though I'm 43 years old, because that's just the nature of people, and we even do it sometimes to ourselves. And so it's important for us to see ourselves the way God sees us so that we can feel confident in who we are. I don't care about what I've done, my past. I'm confident in who I am in Christ. That's why I'm able to come on. That's why I'm able to minister and prophesy over people, because I see myself how God sees me. But if I wasn't able to see myself like that, I wouldn't feel comfortable ministering or prophesying or loving on people, because I'd be like, oh, I'm too messed up. I've done too much in my past and this, that, and the other. You know, I'm a dirt bag or whatever the case may be, because I wouldn't be able to separate who I was and who I am and who God made me to be. So it's important to see that. And God is going to show you that so that you can build up in who you are, not who you was, not what you've done, who you are, what you were made to do. When God created you and when he had you in mind before you even were placed in your mother's womb, he had a plan for you. He had goals and aspirations for you. And it's important for you to see that. And it's important for you to know that you're living up to that, even though we all make mistakes. Like, you have to see that he's pleased with you. So you're going to see the loveliness in God, the things that are lovely and nice to hear and look at. And you're going to in turn see those things in you. So Lord, we just thank you right now we thank you for Cynthia having the ability to see herself the way you see her, Father God, seeing the beauty in her, the loveliness in her, and how she pleases you. And seeing past her humanity and seeing the core and the essence of who she is, the spirit of who she is, who you made her to be in your image. And we thank you, Father God, for her having the eye to see the loveliness of who you are, how you are love, and feeling that love and experiencing that love and not feeling like, I'm not getting it right or this, none of that, but just basking in your love. And just feeling it and allowing herself to feel and allowing herself to be loved fully by you and allowing herself to fully love her flaws and all so that she can elevate and so that you can continue to use her and use her even more. Because the more she loves her, the more she loves you, the more love she has to give to your people. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. I needed that. I really needed that, and I've recently been released onto the prayer team at my church, and mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, I just, even though I really believe the Lord told me to do it, a little intimidated,
mm-hmm.
and so that just kind of goes with what you were saying, that it's not me anyway, it's him, but yeah, so that was a beautiful word. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was inspired by that word. That is a very beautiful word. You're a beautiful person. You know, God wants you to know that you're a beautiful person. And so people need that. People can feel that. You know, when you're praying for somebody, they need that. They need beautiful people praying for them that really truly want what's best for them. That's really, to me, what makes people beautiful, when people really love people. They don't have to know them. You know, they just really want what's best for them. People need that. That's a need. Because sometimes people will really say, you know how many people tell people, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. They don't pray for them. People pour their heart out to somebody, and somebody say, oh, that sounds so terrible. I'll pray for you. And they'll just go about their business. They don't pray for those people most of the time. So people need beautiful people to pray for them, that want them to have a favorable outcome. Even sometimes people will tell you their problems, and you will hear it so clear that they are the problem. They'll be blaming everybody else, and they're so distraught, and they're so hurt, because everybody's just out to get them, and it'd be them. But when you're a beautiful person, despite that, you'll still know how to pray for them, pray that God will correct it, turn things around, we'll make it all work out for their favor. It's not about putting blame on anything. It's about really wanting them to be in a good place and for God working that. So you continue to do what God is leading you to do, because he's working through you. And it's impactful. It's more impactful than you'll ever know. You might, years later, somebody might say, hey, you know, you prayed for me this one time and it changed my whole life. And now I'm serving God. Now I'm doing this, that, and the other. You have no idea the impact that you're making. You can make an impact in one person's life, and that one person can affect a million people. And so now you have in turn affected all those people because of your obedience and your love for people and just doing what you felt called to do, despite how you felt, despite feeling intimidated or like, man, maybe I'm not qualified or whatever, but still doing it anyway. You know, because all of us have that. We all go through that where we're like, man, you know, is this for me? And the first time Terrence and I was doing these shows, oh my gosh, I'm like, oh, I think I'm out of my league here, you know. But I knew it's what I was supposed to do. Despite me.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do, because people need you. It's not just where they could take or leave you. They need you. They need to hear your prayer. They need to hear your heart. They need to hear your testimony. They need to feel that you're with them. They need that. So you just keep doing what you need to do, and God is going to work all that other stuff out. Because even though we're called for people, we're still working things out in us too. We're still a work in progress. None of us are going to get to the point where we've made it. Like, oh yeah, I made it. I'm perfect. We're all going to be messed up until the Lord calls us home or until we're raptured, whichever comes first. We're all working it out. But as we're working it out, we still are doing the work. We're imperfect people who serve a perfect God, and we can be operating in his perfect will despite our imperfectness, because it's all being worked out. It keeps us humble when we're imperfect, because then when somebody else comes to us and they bring their brokenness, we're not like, oh my God, how dare them? No, we said, I'm an imperfect person too. I'm working my stuff out, and they're working their stuff out too. You know, but at least they're bringing it to a fellow believer to get help. You know, it really does keep us humble. And it's important for us to stay humble, because pride does come before destruction. So the opposite of pride is humility. So I think part of the reason why as humans, we never get to a stage where we can be walking in perfection like Christ, because we need to stay humble. It keeps us humble knowing we're not perfect. It keeps us humble knowing that we're working on things too. It keeps us humble knowing that we are, you know, still working out our salvation. It's a way to keep us humble, to be in humility always. So just take, you know, heart in that, and know that God is with you, and just keep doing the work, because the people need you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. And I didn't quite know exactly. Well, I was wanting wisdom, and you've already prayed over all of us for wisdom. But I didn't know what else I needed. And until you started praying, I'm like, that's it. That's what I need. I need that. And, yeah, thank you so much, Tanisha. I really appreciate it. And many blessings on you and your husband.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in tonight. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. What an awesome word. We all need to drink of that word. That was amazing. I love that. God is so good. Next caller here, 919-292. Who am I speaking to? You there? 919-292?
Hello. Can you hear me, Tanisha? How are you?
I can hear you now.
How are you doing? This is Shaquilla from North Carolina.
I'm good. How are you tonight, Shaquilla?
I'm doing good. I can't complain.
I know that's right. Amen. Now let's pray for you and hear what the Lord has to say for you tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Shaquilla. Father God, we thank you for the protection. It's like as I was trying to hear you, our neighbor's dog is going completely nuts, which is not unusual. But I don't worry about the neighbor's dog because he barks. He's a pretty big dog. But there's a fence that is very strong, new. It protects us even when we let our cat out. And our cat goes by the fence and barks like crazy at our cat. And we know she's protected. And I see you. It's like the enemy's been barking at you, right? And sometimes if you don't know how the layout is or something, you know, let's say you came over and visited and you walked outside and you had not seen the fence yet and you heard a dog barking, you know, you might take off to run and like, oh my gosh, dog's about to bite my ankles, you know, because you don't know. But if you know that there's a big old fence and you hear the dog barking, the only thing it's going to do is kind of annoy you. Sometimes I go out there and I tell them, hush. I'm like, hush, be quiet. You're not going to do nothing. I bet you even if this fence wasn't here, you're not going to do nothing. And sometimes he gets quiet. Sometimes he just keeps barking. But it's like the enemy has been barking at you. And it's been startling you because you're not aware of the layout. But the Lord is telling you tonight there's a fence, right? Mm-hmm. We like to sing a song, at least I do, by Fred Hammond. And in the song it says, Jesus be a fence all around me every day. Okay, I love that song because
me too.
For real, we need him to be a fence because things are trying to come at us. And it's like the Lord wants you to know that he literally is a fence. The enemy just barking at you. He can't do nothing. He just loud and irritating. He can't even get to you. Our next door neighbor's dog, he can't get to me. Unless the fence was compromised, which that can happen in the natural, but when Jesus is a fence, that's a fence that can't be penetrated. That's a fence that cannot be compromised. So you have to let the devil know, okay, you barking and? It's like you barking with no teeth, too. Like even if, let's say by some strange reason, the fence fell and you tried to bite me, it's not going to do nothing because you literally have no teeth. And that's what's going on. Like the devil is barking at you. He has no teeth and there is a fence. You have to know your layout. Even if you can't see it, it doesn't matter what they're saying they're going to do to you or who's going to do this and that, what, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And it's a bark. Mm. It's a smoke screen. It's mirrors. It's lies. It's an illusion. It's a children's trick. It's a circus. It's not real. It's just designed to intimidate and scare you. Because even dogs do that. A lot of times the big dogs too. They be so scary. You run up on them, and them dogs will take off to running. But they try to intimidate you. They're like, I'm bark, so that this person can think that I'm big, bad, and strong. And hopefully, if they think that, they won't mess with me. But then if you run up on them, the dog be running scared. And that's what the enemy does. Mm. He tries to scare us and flex on us because he thinks we don't know that he don't really have no real power. He has some power, but he don't have no power over God. He certainly doesn't have no power over God's people. He don't have no power. So he's just barking. He's barking at you. He's barking, 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 barking. Don't be intimidated. Don't be startled, even. Because, like, I'm on startle now. I can go outside and that dog gets to bark and I'd be like, be quiet. It doesn't startle me. If anything, it just irritates me. But I'm like, where is your owner? Go back in your house. Go eat or something. Drink you some water. Do something. But quit barking by this dog on fence. So it doesn't affect me in as far as the way I move. And don't allow the enemy's barking to affect the way you move. Because that's what people do, especially people that are afraid of dogs. They hear a dog bark, they make moves, right? They'll run all the way down the street. Yeah. Now they're somewhere they ain't even supposed to be. Won't even come back because they're so scared of the dog. Sometimes they don't even see the dog. They just hear the barking. They ain't even seen the dog. Dog could be big, small, in between. They don't know. But they're just afraid of dogs. But that's not how we operate. So the things that's been going on, it's barking. It's not the real deal, right? If it was really a dog, Lord give you strategy on what to do, but this is just literally barking. It's not. It's just designed to scare you. It's designed to kind of get you out of place, right? To get you off course. And Lord is revealing to you that don't make moves because of that. Don't make moves because of that. That barking. Don't move around. Don't go over here. Don't run over there to get away from it. It's just trying to scare you. But there's a fence. So even though the barking is there, it can't cross over to the one doing the barking can't really touch you. You can only hear, but it can't touch. It's like a dog. I can hear my neighbor's dog. My neighbor's dog can't get to me. So even if my neighbor's dog has the ability to talk like a human being and say, I'm going to rip you limb for limb. I'm going to tear you up. I'm going to rip out your jugular. I'm going to do this. He can't do it. Because there's a fence. So all he's doing is he would just be talking. Because I can't even imagine what dogs be saying in their dog mind when they be barking. It might be saying that kind of, I'm going to tear your ankles up if I get to them. I mean, I don't know what they'd be saying. But if I could hear it, and that's what he was saying, if he was making threats against me, they would be idle threats. They'd be futile. Because he doesn't have the ability to make good on it. And so that's what the Lord wants you to know tonight, that the things that are being said that's going, you know, the enemy's trying to make it seem like that he can destroy you and stop things and all that. He can't. He's just trying to scare you into making moves. That's it. You know, when Terrence and I, it was time to go into contract for this house, the enemy was really using a particular situation to try to scare me from not signing the contract for the house that we bought. And it was a very, you know, something that was very real. And I prayed. I could have made moves based on it. I prayed. I said, Lord, what you want me to do? And Lord said, I'm signing a contract. He said, what I give to you, the devil can't take from you. Yeah. And so I did. And that situation resolved. But I could have made moves because it made sense in the natural, practically, for me to not sign because of this pending situation that was really barking, very loud, barking and snarling. Little rabid. But the Lord said, I'll take care of that. That's just designed to get you off course. That's just designed to make you not accept this blessing I have for you. What I have for you, devil can't take. So understand that. Lord, we just thank you right now for Shaquilla, Father God. We thank you for her identifying the barking. What's just trying to scare her and get her off course and to get her to make moves outside of what you told her to do, to help her to stand firm and plant her feet where you told her to plant her feet and to grow where she's planted. That when you tell her to make a move, it's because you tell her to make a move. Not because something's uncomfortable, not because she don't like it, not because people get on her nerves, not because this, that, not for any other reason, but because you said it, not out of fear, not out of none of that. Simply because of your voice, your word, your impression in her, her knowing it is you. That's the only way she's going to make moves. Help her identify the barking of the enemy, the toothless dog, trying to scare her off her course, trying to scare her out of what you have for her. Give her the faith to know that if she stands firm, that you have a blessing, that you will protect, that you would do everything that you said you're going to do, because like we read earlier, Lord, you're unable to lie. Enemy, all he do is lie. He's the father of lies. He's out to kill, steal, destroy. He does that with lies. But you have a plan for us. Not for our downfall, but for us to succeed with an expected end. You and your plan, all your plans for us are good, and you don't lie to us. You're not like man that lies. So help her to identify that, to see past the lies, and to stand firm and to only move when you tell her to move. No other reason, not discomfort, not dislike, not preference. Only when you say to move. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was so powerful and so on point and so prosthetic to where I'm at now in life and with different situations. And I just want to thank God for you. And I just thank God for you, because I've been thinking, and you know, the enemy's been trying to make me the barking, like he has really been barking with different situations and making me think otherwise. But tonight you encouraged me, you reminded me to stand, because God is not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he has to repent about anything he's spoken. And if he spoke it, it has to come to pass. So I just was reminded tonight to continue to stand on God's word, because God's word is sure. He's not unsure about anything. He's sure. He's very sure about everything he speaks, not only, you know, over my life, but over your life, over the people that's listening. He's sure about everything he speaks. So I just thank God for you. I really do. I needed the encouragement. I just needed everything you spoke tonight, even in the beginning. I needed it, and I just thank God for you. I really do.
I appreciate that, and I just praise God for it. I mean, he's just so good. He gives us what we need. You know, we'll be feeling some sort of way. You know, there's been plenty of times I've called into Randy or another person's show and just feeling some sort of way, and the message just, I'm like, this is, it's like you just tired of somebody gave you some water and some Gatorade, and now you got all your electrolytes back. Now you ready to continue your race. You know, God is so good that that's what he does. He gives us what we need so that we can continue the race. But just know God got you. He's got you. He's got you. And you're in right where you need to be, which is in the hand of God. And sometimes being in the hand of God, we feel like, oh my gosh, is this where I need to be? I'm uncomfortable, Lord. I don't like this here, but that don't matter. It don't matter. It's all about just being where he needs you to be. And it'll make sense later why. Sometimes we're in some uncomfortable situations and we're like, why? It's like even where we used to stay in our old apartment. Before we left, it was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Between the neighbors, we had some horrible neighbors at one point. I mean, they were absolutely from hell. And we would just pray for them. They have wild parties. And some other neighbors had called the cops on them, and they thought we were the ones who did it, and we weren't. They paintballed our windows, and they would, you know, do things and try to make things, you know, hard on us. And it was just, people were like, just move. But God did not tell us to move. And we were uncomfortable. And we were paying a lot of money for the rent. So I'm like, no, we ain't paying all this money for rent and can't even sleep at night. You know, like dogs barking, kids, wild parties, cops coming. You know, they messing with people's cars. And I mean, it was just a mess. But had we moved or made a move before then, we wouldn't have been in position to get what we got now. Like, it was a timing thing. And so just take, you know that it's all for a reason, even when you're uncomfortable, even when you don't like it. Even like with the job, the old job I had, and I wanted to quit. And right before I ended up quitting, we had a new employee that worked there, and he latched on to me. And it wasn't just work stuff. He started to open up about his personal life and things that were going on and all that kind of stuff. And God used me to minister to him. If I would have quit, when I wanted to quit, I would have never had an opportunity to meet him. And he, to this day, will still message me every now and again. you know, for an encouraging word, or if he needs prayer. He's an older gentleman, you know, and it was for him. It was for him. I was dealing with all that, and I was doing well at the job. I was, you know, getting paid nice, getting bonuses. I was number two with the whole company, but I hated it, and I wanted to leave, but it was for him. He was the last one in. It was for him. So it don't matter if it's job, where you work, it don't matter, none of it. It's all, you're where you need to be because you're in the hand of God, and it's all for a reason. And God trusts. God knew that I could handle being uncomfortable. He knew I could handle that. He knew I could deal with them neighbors because he knew I was just going to pray, and they ended up moving, the really horrible from hell ones. But then we got some more that were not, you know, I'm like, what in the world? But it was a timing thing, and we prayed for those people. You know, we prayed for all the people, even though sometimes it really would tick us off, but we still always were praying for them. And it was a timing thing. And with that, same with that job, it was a timing thing. I mean, I saw the love of God. Oh my God, you have me to stay here and be uncomfortable waiting on this man to come so I could minister to him and encourage him. Like, that's love. How God, see how God loves people? So he's like, man, I could trust Tanisha. I could put her here and she'll wait it out, and she's not going to leave until I tell her to leave. And I'm orchestrating the scene to get this person here so they can cross paths and she can minister and love on him and love on his family and his children and his wife and all that. That's love. So know that all a time of thing, and God's going to reward you for your obedience. It's like we don't just be being obedient for no reason. There are rewards that come with it too. And we're sowing seeds. There's seeds being sown that we will need that harvest later on, and it's like a harvest that keeps on, you know, yielding a crop. Because when I need somebody, I've sown that seed where I was willing to just stay put. And then when I saw it later, God was like, see, you stay put. Somebody going to stay put for you. Somebody going to be available to you. Like, it's because we all need each other. Everybody needs people. Yeah. There's no person, I don't care how anointed, none of that. We all need people. And so just know that you're where you need to be, and let that barking just bark. So you'd be like, shut up, devil. Okay, I see you now. I know what it is, so you can go back. I'm resisting, so you can fall back now, because the word of God says that if I resist, you'll flee. So you can go on and flee, because I'm not moving. I'm only moving with God's voice, not fear, not discomfort. Because people in the natural, you tell somebody, like people, we tell people about our apartment, even my son and my daughter-in-law, they're like, whoosh, y'all need to just go on and move. And I'm like, no, I'm not moving until God tells me to move. And that might sound crazy, because they're like, you're saying you're uncomfortable, you're saying your rent is high, and the apartment's falling apart, and the neighbors are terrible, and all sorts of stuff going on. It makes sense practically to just move, but I'm like, nah, we make moves when God tells us to make moves. And it doesn't have to make sense to me or to you. It's called obedience. Because there ain't nothing in the Word of God that says that you could do what you want as long as you're comfortable, or as long as, nah, there's plenty of situations in the Word of God where people were uncomfortable or didn't like it. Jesus didn't like what he had to do. He was sweating blood. He didn't like it so much, but he still did it. So just know you're where you need to be, and you're going to be rewarded for it. You're going to be rewarded, but tell that devil to be quiet and shut his mouth. He don't even got no teeth. Trying to bark at somebody and threaten to bite. You bite what? You're going to gum at me, if anything. You can't do nothing. You don't have no ability to break skin. So tell him to flee and just trust God and be encouraged that at the time, it's a timing thing. It's always a timing thing. And when it feel like the time ain't right, the enemy always try to come and discourage you. Like, ain't never going to happen, or you stuck, or this, that, and the other. That's lies. That's lies. We serve the God who is the Alpha and the Omega. He's in the he's the beginning and the end. So he knows what's ahead.
Yeah.
And he's keeping you where you need to be, because it's all timing. It's a timing thing. And when you get to what's ahead, your mind's going to be blown. You're going to be like, "Who, Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you gave me what I needed to be obedient, because I could have missed out on this if I would have just got frustrated." So stay the course, be encouraged.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Tanisha. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you, too, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right. How many more have we got? I'm going to just pray over your area codes and prefixes because there's still quite a few of you. And again, I want to get to everybody tonight. 734-672 is my next caller. Lord, we just thank you right now for 734-672. It's like the same thing as piggybacking off of Shaquilla's word, for you to really just be encouraged in the Lord and know that he is, he's for you. He is working things out for your favor, even though it don't make sense. Because a lot of times things, I can't tell you how many times in my life something did not make sense. And I just did it anyway. And even though I did it, sometimes I didn't do it with a good attitude, but I still did it. And, you know, the Lord worked on my attitude. But be encouraged and feed on the word. Feed on it. Like, some people like to eat breakfast first thing in the morning. Terrence and I, we're more brunch people. But one of the first things I do when I wake up is I read my word. That's the first thing I want to put in me. You know, some people check emails. Some people, you know, check voicemails. So some people put their phone on silent at night or check text messages or social media, whatever. Feed on that word every single day. Feed on it. First thing in the morning, throughout the day, like, feed on that word and be encouraged and know that God is working things out for your favor, for your benefit, for your good, for your edification, for your encouragement, for you to prosper, right? For you to prosper. To prosper. Feed on that word the rest of this week. I want you to look up the word prosper, and I want you to really dive into that word. Because God is doing everything for you to prosper, right? We hear prosper and we think of finances only, but really look up that word and feed on that and know that this word, God is setting things up for you to partake in that and in prosperity in all areas. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 828-989. Lord, we just thank you right now for 828-989 for being an encourager of people, for being a leader, for being a light, for being, it's like God is really using you to really shine in dark places, right? Where there's darkness all around. And sometimes that could be hard to be in the darkness, but you're called for it. And it's not going to swallow you. It's not going to envelop you, but you're going to lead people out of it. You know, lead people out of darkness. And a lot of people are just dark-minded, right? They're dark in their ways. I remember when I became a believer, I got saved in the living room of a woman who was my hairdresser. She would do her hair. She would do hair out of her home. And I've been going to her for several years, and I knew she was a believer because she would sometimes play her gospel music and that kind of stuff. But she never, you know, she never pushed it on me. No, but we knew that she was a believer. Everybody knew that who went to get their hair done by her. I remember when I was in a search for God, I didn't consult her or anything, but I remember saying a prayer one night, my God, if you're real and reveal yourself, amen, thank you, or whatever. That was literally my prayer. And the next day she ministered to me. And I remember when I left, everything was brighter. When I left her house, everything was brighter. It was like I was walking around with a blanket over my face and the blanket was gone. I was in darkness. And I remember reading a scripture that said that those who are unsaved, it's like they have a death shroud on them. I had that death shroud. But when I became, when I said that sinner's prayer, and I meant it. I remember I meant it. When she asked me if I wanted to be a bride for Jesus, I didn't even know what that meant exactly, but I knew I wanted it. I meant it. And I remember everything being brighter. When I walked outside, it's like the world, everything was brighter because I was in darkness before. And you're going to lead people out of darkness. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Give them the encouragement, give them the words, make people, draw people to them that are in darkness, and give them the words to penetrate through the darkness and to be bearers of light and bearers of truth, where they can identify, people will identify the truth in them, and it will resonate as truth, and they will accept it. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller here is 704-492. Well, we thank you right now for 704-492, for just really knowing it's going to be okay, right? Sometimes we need to know that. Some of people will say that, like, it's going to be okay. And we'd be like, whatever. No, it's going to be all right. Like, it really is. I remember going through a really rough time in my life. And I needed that word. There was so much at one time. There was so much, so many things I had to figure out. It wasn't like one situation. It was like a snowball, right? Like, and I needed to know that it was going to be okay. And the Lord wants you to know that it's going to be all right. It's going to truly be all right. Just trust him and know that. And tell yourself that. Like, it's going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. Because that's the truth. God said it is true. Sometimes it might not feel all right. Might not feel okay. But it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. So let it work. Let it go through the process. You ever skinned your knee real bad? I was kind of a rough child. And sometimes I'd skin it to the white meat and it would go through a process. It would start oozing pus and crust over. Like, it would look ugly, but it was going to be all right. It was just going through its process of getting to all right. So let it go through the process. It's going to get to all right, but it's going to be that. That's where it's going to be. But sometimes while it's going to that, it's ugly. But you know where it's going. So I never worried because I became an old pro at scabs. I knew the process of it. It'd be busted, and then it'd get a little crusty where it was a clear crust and it would ooze, and then it would scab over, and then it would start to, the scab would fall off, and it would go back to skin, and it'd be normal. So sometimes that's the process to get to all right, but it's going to be there. It's going. That's where it's going. It's going to be all right. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 903-808. We thank you for 903-808 for being financiers, financiers of the gospel, financiers of people. It's like God is really giving you an anointing for finances and for you to finance things. Right, like a bank does, like a bank finances thing. I see you really coming into wealth financially for the purpose of financing things that God wants you to finance. So when, you know, of course, people get into wealth, they have things that they want to get to, and you're welcome to do that. But know that there's money set aside that God is trusting, God is going to trust you with for his purpose. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next, 832-231. We thank you for 832-231. We thank you for the desires of the heart being manifest. It's like God is giving you the desires of your heart. He's placed them in your heart, rather, and they're going to manifest. Just be faithful and do what God is telling you to do, and you're going to see that. You're going to see the desires of your heart manifested. You're going to see it. Sometimes people feel like the desires of their heart are pipe dreams, but no, these are going to, you're going to see them. You're going to see with your eyeballs and your skull sockets in your head. Okay, that you're going to physically see the desires of your heart manifest. So don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody tell you it's stupid or it's not going to happen, because it is. Because God placed those desires in you, and when he places those desires in you, he's also giving you the blueprint of what to do so that they can come to pass. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 315-884. Lord, thank you for 315-884. We thank you for the companionship. We thank you for really having that godly companionship. Godly companionship ordained of you. So we thank you, Father God, that is, I don't know if you're wanting that or if, but I see that. Godly companionship. God is giving you godly companions. There's nothing like godly people. You know, not people that are faking and shaking, but like they're really about it, you know. And that doesn't make them perfect people, but it makes them sincere people. And there's something about sincerity that's something that's been lost in this society, right? Sincere people who genuinely are very genuine. And I see you getting that, having that, godly companions, that people who are very sincere. They'll really pray for you. They'll really uplift you. They really will sincerely seek God and wisdom for your circumstances and situations. They will hold you accountable, right? They'll love you, good, bad, and ugly. But even bad and ugly, they're not going to tell you that the bad and ugly is cute and beautiful. They'll tell you it's bad and ugly because that's what love does. Love tells the truth. So, Lord, we just thank you for the godly companionship. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the rest of you, just love you. I love all of you. Terrence and I, we're always praying for you. And I just pray that for God's divine direction and will in your life to be manifest always, for protection for yourself, your families, your finances, everything in your care, control, and custody, and that you would have peace, peace and joy. And I speak healing in your body, in any area of your body that needs correction, that needs healing. I speak that in your life right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Be sure to call back, 845, hit 1. Randy tends to pray over everybody on Wednesdays after his messages. And definitely tune in to the past messages if you have it. They've been so meaty. They've been so full of revelation and knowledge. So anyway, love you all. Good night. Till next time.